Oh, Father and our God, this morning we do honor and give thanks to Thee for the mercy that in Christ Jesus You've bestowed upon us. Holy Father, may Thou now take glory this morning as Thy word is declared. Bless, I pray, my Father, both the declaration as well as the reception of Thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' holy name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. As I sat through a graduation ceremony, I was very impressed with the great academic achievements of the graduating students. I have no doubt that with such skill set of the students, the sky was their limit. But then my preacher's intuition kicked in. And I wondered to myself, these young graduates are definitely intelligent. Their minds have been trained to think critically and to analyze facts and to be creative. But have they acquired wisdom? You know, have they acquired the wisdom needed to discern the intricacies of life and to face the challenges that life will suddenly bring their way? Well, you know, as the saying goes, time will tell. But while it was quite impossible for me to know the answer to those questions, there is a book that lays out for us the pathway to acquiring wisdom. It not only defines for us what wisdom is, but it also gives us clear insight of what it takes to acquire wisdom. And this book is the Holy Scriptures. And littered throughout the pages of the Scriptures are teachings about wisdom, not only in terms of understanding wisdom, but also there were real-life experiences of the manifestations of wisdom. And one thing is obvious throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, that acquiring wisdom is a prerequisite for a happy and blessed life. As Solomon would write in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For a profit is better than the profit of silver, and a gain than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." So my brothers and sisters, this morning you can see that wisdom is a must-have in life. So this morning, using Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 as a springboard, I want to call your attention or to explore together this concept of wisdom and to try to understand what wisdom is and, most importantly, how to acquire wisdom. So let's begin this morning by trying to nail down the definition. Now, I'm going to do something very different this morning. I'm going to take a counter approach. Instead of going to what wisdom is, let me begin by first looking at what wisdom is not. I believe that's going to give you a fuller understanding when I go to the real definition. So first of all, let's look at what wisdom is not. Wisdom is not intelligence. Intelligence has to do solely with acquiring an application of knowledge and skills, which usually comes through some form of formal education. You go to college, you acquire intelligence. your taught skills and our knowledge that is going to give you a lot of understanding in different vocations that you're doing. You know, and while this acquiring of knowledge and skills can broaden your horizon and bring about greater innovation and make you marketable and people can hire you, it does not translate to wisdom. And you don't have to look far to find examples of very highly educated people all around us doing very stupid things. Like in the case of Lisa Novak, a former astronaut. You probably have heard that story before. Real life story. You know, she was a mission specialist with NASA. And she is what you can classify as a rocket scientist. But what happened was that she was caught in a love triangle. She was estranged from her husband, had a boyfriend. The boyfriend decided to have a girlfriend. And she got into this envious rage and travels from Houston over 1,000 miles to Orlando. And in order not to stop, she had to put on diapers so that she can go and confront her rival. And she did. And she was arrested. And her career was ruined. Intelligent, but yet not wise. What about the story of the Ponzi scheme, Bernie Madoff? You know, a lot of very highly educated people invested in this Ponzi scheme. And listen, they were scammed. They were conned. So you can see, loved ones, this morning, that being intelligent, being highly educated, does not translate to being wise. And this is just a tip of the iceberg. Tons of stories of very highly educated people. Some today are sitting in prison because they didn't understand wisdom. The second thing I want you to know is this. Wisdom is not common sense. You know, common sense, by definition, is the basic level of practical knowledge and judgment that we all need to help us live a reasonable and a safe life. But, you know, common sense is just not the is just the understanding of reality, rather, but the analysis of reality is a different thing. Let me give you an example here. You know, take, for example, common sense tells a person that when you put your hand on fire, it's going to burn. And that's true. It's going to damage your body. But the same person that has that very clear understanding through common sense goes outside and lights a cigarette and smoke. You know, common sense does not tell that person that both putting your hand on fire and lighting a cigarette will damage your body. You see what I'm saying? While putting your hand on fire will instantly cause you pain and damage your body. Smoking, while slow, will ultimately damage your body. So you can see that the common sense there has a distortion here because the person is not really seeing. And you take examples of different things. Very people that have common sense that drink and drive. Common sense does not tell them that it's unsafe to drink and drive. So my brothers and sisters this morning, common sense does not translate to wisdom. And all of us have common sense. Yes, but yet you can see some people that look as if they don't have no sense whatsoever at all. That's why common sense is not wisdom. But then you might say, now what, Pastor Wally, is wisdom? Let us do this, beginning to understand wisdom. Let us begin to look at what I call the etymology of it, the origin of that word, wisdom. In the Hebrew Old Testament, that word, wisdom, is the word that is translated, called in the Hebrew language, hokmah. And the Greek word for that word, wisdom, is the word sophia, from where we get the name Sophia. And both of them usually have the same parallel meaning. It means being sound in judgment and understanding. So now, when we now look at the biblical definition of wisdom, we can now define wisdom as the quality of being sound in judgment and understanding. Again, I want you to write that down, loved ones, this morning. The quality of being sound in judgment and in understanding. Let me work this out. You know, being sound in judgment is one's ability to objectively assess situations and circumstances using all the relevant information and apply past experiences in order to come to a conclusion or make a decision. In other words, when you're sound in judgment, in other words, you just don't jump and take a leap of faith into absolutely nothing. You examine the evidence. You look deep and you do your own work. You get works done before you come to a decision. You are prudent. But not only that, you have understanding. Understanding is the ability to discern, usually of things or situation that is not so obvious. So again, you can see how the Bible now defines wisdom. It is being sound in judgment, objectively looking at things and knowing and looking at all the facts. I'm coming to a very conclusive, irrational decision, but also using a lot of discernment to understand what is not visible. A good example of this can be found in Exodus chapter 18, in the story of Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses. Now, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he actually sent his wife and his two sons to be with his father-in-law. And after they crossed over the Red Sea and they passed through Rephidim, Exodus chapter 17, and they arrived at the mountain of God in Exodus chapter 18, Jethro, his father-in-law, now brings his wife and his two sons back to him. And when Moses saw his father-in-law, they had a very, great reunion, because Moses actually lived with him for over 40 years when he fled from Egypt the first time. So they had a very powerful reunion, and they sat, they ate, they did all these things together, and the leaders of Israel came and they sat with Moses' father-in-law Jethro, and they just had a good time. The next day, which was in the morning, Moses now sat as judge to judge the people. And the people stood before Moses from morning until evening. Now, when Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, saw all this, he said to Moses, "What is this that you're doing for the people? Why you alone sit as judge and all the people stand before you from morning until evening?" And Moses responded to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the oracles of God and his laws." Then Jethro said, "The thing that you're doing is not good." You see the wisdom here. He said, "You will surely wear out both yourself and this people who you are with, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." And what counsel did he give Moses? He said, "Moses, I want you to look and appoint men that has integrity, men of character among your people. Let them be your delegates to do the initial work, to adjudicate cases among the people. And if there is a case that is too strong for them to deal with, they can now come to you." So what Jethro did here that was so powerful was to offer Moses sound judgment. He looked at the situation. He looked at what Moses could not see. Believe me, Moses had been doing this for months and he didn't realize that it was burning him out. He couldn't do it alone. I don't know how many people stood before him all day long, but Moses was one man. But Jethro used wisdom. This is what it means to objectively look at situation, but also to discern that, listen, you're going to wear yourself out. You need to delegate. And this was what Jethro offered to Moses. And this is what it means, loved ones, to be wise. To be wise means to think, to have sound judgment, and to have an understanding. And by the way, this counsel of Jethro is how our judicial system today has been set up. Before you go to the Supreme Court, you have to go through the different level of appellate courts before you come to the Supreme. The same counsel Moses gave, or Jethro gave to Moses, is how we have designed our judicial system. Wisdom, sound in judgment and understanding. So now, let me now come to the point of question, loved ones, this morning. How do we then acquire this wisdom that we find here, this strive for us in the Bible? Well, the Bible gives us a pathway to acquire wisdom. And this is where I want to touch on this. This is where I want to kind of bank in and settle in this morning. Here we go. The first way the Bible tells us on how to acquire wisdom is, first of all, by walking in the fear of God. Again, I want you to pay attention to what I just said. By walking in the fear of God. So let's begin. What does it mean to walk in the fear of God? Walking in the fear of God simply means living within the confines of His truth. Again, pay attention to what I just said. Living within the confines of God's truth. You know, God has got a box. And that box is His truth. When you and I live in the confines of His truth, that means we're living in obedience, and we're living within the parameters of His truth. That means we're walking in fear of God. God is the only one that we can't think out of the box when it comes to God's truth. We can't cross the boundaries. We got to stay within the box. This is what it means to live in the fear of God. And now watch this. Since God is the source of all truth and the only wise God, we see that in Romans chapter 16, verse 27, that means that His truth itself is rooted in perfect wisdom. Watch what I'm saying. God's truth is rooted in perfect wisdom because He is the only wise God. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what you don't know, what I don't know. He's been doing this before creation. He's going to do it after we're gone. He has all the answers, and His truth represents wisdom. So when we walk within His conference of His truth, we are actually going to be walking in wisdom. Obedience to God is actually the conduit of wisdom. That is why sound judgment and understanding is not a product of formal education. Oh yes, formal education will give you the book knowledge, but it's the Word of God that gives you practical wisdom. It's living within the confines of God's truth. It's living within the parameters of God's truth. And unfortunately, we live in a culture, a world where people constantly want to think out of the box. They want to come out of God's boundary. They want to create their own laws. They want to create their own ideology. And when you do that, you are going to fail. You are going to fail because that is going to be a lack of wisdom. And this is the cultural war that we're fighting, because everybody don't want to stay within the confines of God's law. They don't want to stay within the boundaries of His truth. And that's foolishness. That is why we find in our culture a lot of people doing very stupid things because they refuse to stay within it. And that is why when the fear of God is removed from a culture, the culture disintegrates. Because they've abandoned wisdom. Wisdom can only be found within the fear of God. And Job will say this. Well, Job chapter 28, watch what Job will say. He said, where then does wisdom come from? Where is the place of understanding? Thus it is hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death says, with our ears, we have heard a report of it. God understands His way. He knows his place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he impacted weight to the wind and meted out the water by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it, and he established it and searched it out. To man, he said, behold, the fear of God is wisdom. Watch what God says. The fear of, and to depart from evil is understanding. Job chapter 28, verse 20 through 28. The fear of God, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Then we turn to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Loved ones, this morning, the implication is clear. The pathway to wisdom, the first and fundamental pathway to wisdom, is living in the fear of God. If you today want to be wise, begin to live within the confines of God's parameters and his truth. Begin to live in obedience to God's word, and you will discover that you will be indwelled with sound understanding, sound judgment, and great understanding. The second is this. To acquire wisdom, we have to constantly meditate on the word of God. Again, watch what I just said, loved ones. Not only do you walk in the confines of God's truth, you got to learn to daily meditate on the word of God. You know, the Bible, for all intended purposes, is a book of practical wisdom. From Genesis to Revelation, it is what we call a manual for life that lays out for us how we need to live in this world. And this is what you and I got to understand. God created this world. God put together all the laws of nature. God understands how everything should walk in this world. And God has laid out for us in a sacred word how we need to live so that we can be blessed and be happy in this world. And it can be found in the Bible. And this is it. That is why David would declare to us that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And this is key. When you constantly meditate on God's word, it deposits within your soul divine wisdom. Watch what Jesus said. It deposits within your soul divine wisdom. The more you meditate and you read and you constantly live in the word of God and you study it and you ingest it, you assimilate it, you get it into your system and you begin to reflect upon it and meditate on it day and night. Like he told Joshua, said, meditate on my word day and night so that you can be prosperous. You continue to meditate on God's word. It deposits wisdom and you are able to discern those things that don't look, that at times look kind of shaky and cloudy, because the word of God is activated in your life when you encounter issues. That is why when you constantly ingest the word of God, at times you just speak and the scripture just come out of your head, because it's already in your body, in your system. And that is the key to wisdom. That is what the psalmist will say. And he reminds us, he said, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, they are mine forever. Psalm 119, verse 98. What the psalmist is saying, listen, your commandments make me wiser. Makes me wiser. And my loved ones, listen to me. They won't put the word of God on the table in Ivy League schools. The Bible will not even be talked about in those schools. They will teach you issues that have to do with the acquisition of knowledge, which is great. And they will send you into the world to change the world, but they forget to teach you about ethics. And the ethics can be found in the Word of God. That is why you see today many going to Ivy League universities for years, sitting in prison because they don't understand the ethics of the Word of God, that thou shalt not steal. They don't understand the ethics of the Word of God, that thou shalt not bear false witness. They don't understand the ethics of the Word of God. And the ethics can only be found in the Word of God. I say to you this morning, and I say it profoundly, that the Word of God every time is excluded from any form of teaching. You've excluded the mercy that is needed to live in this world. Because in this word is truth. And this word, when you understand what it means and you live by its truth, you are going to be wiser. Because the Bible was not written by man. It was breathed by the Holy Spirit. It's God himself speaking through his word to each one of us. And I send it to you this morning. You want to be wise? Meditate on the word of God day and night. Don't let it depart from your side. Study it. Yes, you can be a great engineer, but make sure you study the word of God. Make sure you understand about integrity. Make sure you understand about moral integrity, that if you can be an engineer and create all kinds of things, but if you're morally depraved, you will end up paying for it in a society that will hold you accountable for your moral depravity. That is why it's important to understand what the Word of God is saying, because the truth and the wisdom is in the Word of our living God. Finally, this morning, everybody, how do I acquire wisdom? I acquire wisdom by reliance on the Holy Spirit. Again, reliance on the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus reminded us, I'll not leave you an orphan, but I'm going to send you another helper. The implication is that we as Christians have two helpers. One is God, one is the Lord Jesus, and another helper is the Holy Spirit. The reason Jesus gives us an helper is because we need help. We can't do this Christian stuff by ourselves. We need the help of God. We need the help of the Holy, and the Lord Jesus now gives us an helper, the Spirit of truth that will lead us into all truth, that will open up and help us in our weaknesses. And one where we're weak, one place that we're weak is in the area of wisdom. All of us are weak because we look at things at face value, but we don't see what's beneath it. And when you rely on the Holy Spirit, when you begin to say, listen, man, I'm facing this very cloudy decision I need to make. I don't know whether to go left or to go right. And everything looks real on the surface. As a believer, you pray for God to give you wisdom through his Holy Spirit. It lives in you already. It's right there indwelling every single believer. All you need to do is to say, Lord Jesus, give me wisdom. You got to say, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to discern who to marry. That's why I'm always shocked at people when they look at face value before they make a life commitment. You look at a face value of a spouse. You look at it of a prospective spouse and you make a life commitment based on face value. And you don't go on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom to show you what you don't see with your face. Physical eye, to let you know what is hidden behind the cloud, to let you know the evil intent that is behind all this stuff. And that is the wisdom the Holy Spirit gives to you. You and I acquire wisdom when we lean and we rely on the Holy Spirit, and we rely on the Holy Spirit to help us. And at times the Holy Spirit will tell you to wait, because when you wait, things become clearer. When you wait, things become more obvious. And this morning, loved ones, I'm asking you, are you leaning on the Holy Spirit for wisdom? He is the Spirit of truth. He is the third person of the Trinity. He has perfect wisdom. And he wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you depth of understanding. He calls out, lean on me. And to acquire wisdom as a Christian this morning, you have to lean completely on the Holy Spirit. And in those moments of doubt, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. He will help you. And my question to you this morning in closing is this. Do you have it? Do you have wisdom? I'm not asking you whether you've gone to college. I know some of you sitting there are well-trained doctors and professionals. But the question is this. Do you have wisdom? Do you have wisdom? Because to be happy in Jesus, you need wisdom. To live successfully in this life, you need wisdom. And I pray to God this morning that the pathway to wisdom that the Bible has laid down for us, each one of us will embrace it and live according to God's wisdom. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning, Holy Father, we give thanks. We give thanks for who thou art. We give thanks that thou art God and God alone. We give thanks that thou changest not, that thy compassion defileth not. Holy Father, we now pray for wisdom. Lord, you said if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask God. We give liberally to every man. Lord, grant to me wisdom, and everyone hearing me this morning, everyone that will hear this sermon, grant to us wisdom that we can now walk in obedience and in truth so that we can live a life that honors and glorifies thee. And I'll commit to thee